Welcome to Leading the Way with longtime pastor and author of more than 50 books, Dr. Michael Youssef.
Hello, friends. You're watching it on the news night after night. The rise of Islamization and Islamists taking places of leadership both in the United States and in Europe, Australia, and elsewhere. I sought to write a book to explain to you the unholy alliance between the left and the Islamization, how they invited the Islamic invasion. Get my new book, An Unholy Alliance. It's going to open your eyes and give you practical ways to make a difference for Christ.
Dive into this content further in Dr. Youssef's book, An Unholy Alliance. This month, Dr. Youssef is offering to send a copy to those who support the ongoing ministry of Leading the Way with a gift of any amount. Learn more at ltw.org.
Repentance is not only a one-time experience, it is a lifestyle. Repentance is not mere remorse, but a genuine desire to change. Repentance is not just a regret. A lot of people regret bad things, but it is doing something about the sin.
Welcome to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Today, from the heart, repentance. How is wildly different than I'm sorry repentance. You know what I mean. Growing up, did your parents or teachers ever make you say, I'm sorry? But you only said it because you knew how much trouble you'd be in if you didn't. Well, as you'll hear today, sometimes we do that very same thing with God. Hey, please do help Dr. Michael Youssef and his leadership team be good stewards by telling them where and when you watch or listen to Leading the Way. You can do that when you connect with us online at ltw.org. Or call us up. Speak with a ministry representative at 866-626-4356. Right now, though, join me in listening to Dr. Michael Youssef as he continues his perspective-shifting audio series, Hope and Forgiveness in Times of Judgment.
I wonder how many of us know people who in times of trouble, they never miss church, they never miss Sunday school, they never miss prayer meeting. Every time the doors are open in church, they are there. And as soon as the trouble is over, they'll hardly be seen again. I wonder how many of us know people who more readily confess their sins, repent of their sins, more readily surrender, simply because they want God to answer their prayers and they want to get on God's right side. And as soon as the trouble is over, the repentance rolls just like a cloud. I have seen folks like that through the years of my ministry. And I've seen people who act with their emotions, and as soon as the emotions are over, it's all over. In fact, I am told about the story of some of the old-fashioned confession meetings. Some of you may remember those, and some of you may not. I have been to one or two, where people gather together and they confess really more the symptoms of the sin than the sin itself. And they get caught in that emotionalism of confession. And in one of those meetings, one man got up and he said, I have been smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I am going to quit. Somebody else got up and he said, oh, I've been drinking too much and I'm going to quit. And then third man got up and he said, well, I have been carousing and not living a holy life and I'm going to quit. Well, a little girl was caught up in all this emotionalism. She got up and stood on her chair so everybody can see her. And she said, I haven't done anything, but I'm going to quit. That tells you more about what I'm going to talk to you about today than anything else. Because God calls shallow repentance, temporary repentance, cheap repentance. Unfortunately, we have too much of that. Pastor David Wilkinson said, there are too many people today who are having emotional experiences and call it revival. And he goes on to say, I think true revival will come through searing, piercing, and convicting preaching when people truly turn away from sin. There are many people somehow confuse repentance with manipulating God to give them what they want. There are many people who confuse genuine repentance with trying to bribe God to give them their wishes. There are a lot of people who confuse genuine repentance with trying to appease God in order to give them what they like. But here's the truth. Listen to me carefully, please. Here's the truth. From the Word of God, repentance is not only an act, but it is an attitude. Repentance is not just in words, but in deed. Repentance is not just an outward thing, it is an inward action. Repentance is not only a one-time experience, it is a lifestyle. Repentance is not mere remorse, but a genuine desire to change. Repentance is not just a regret. A lot of people regret bad things, but it is doing something about the sin. You know, today there are people who think that repentance really means just thanking God that they ain't as bad as their neighbors. Someone said churches today are full of people who have been starched and ironed, but too few have been washed. There are even some Christians who think that if you get a large gathering of people and they get together in public confession, but then go back to their homes living this half-hearted life for Christ, that God must act. But here's the problem in this culture in which we live. Because we have instant coffee and instant breakfast, we think that we can have instant prayers, instant revival, and instant answer to prayers. And when God does not act the way we want Him to act, oh, we give up. We're gone. There are yet other believers who live any which way they live. And then they say with Catherine the Great, they might not verbalize it like she did, "The good Lord will pardon. That's His trade." Today, we see what I call the tragedy of cheap repentance. Please hear me right. And I want you to look with me, please, if you haven't already turned in your Bible, turn to Hosea chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Look at verse 4. I'm going to come to the other verses in a minute. Mark those in your Bible. Here's what God is saying. "What shall I do with you, Ephraim? What shall I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning cloud. Your repentance is like the dew of the morning that disappears early in the morning." Obviously, Hosea was preaching, prophesying, calling people for repentance. And some people responded to his message. Some people got together and began to repent and turn to God. But you see, the God who sees the hearts, the God who knows everything, He saw that this is temporary repentance. He sees this as cheap repentance. This is not the repentance that is going to change the heart for good and for God. This is not the kind of repentance that is going to produce fruit. And far from being pleased with this type of superficial repentance, what God is bemoaning is that tragedy of cheap repentance. He's bemoaning the tragedy of temporal devotion. He's bemoaning the tragedy of lip service. He is bemoaning the tragedy of convenient loyalty. God is bemoaning the tragedy of this fleeting repentance that does not create permanent change in the lifestyle. God is troubled with that. He was troubled with that then. He is troubled with that now. And when you look at verses 1, 2, and 3, you can't help but think, oh, read the verses. There must have been a genuine repentance that is taking place. There's a revival in the land. Look at it. People are turning to Him. The nation is turning to God. But not with God's eyes, it was not. They may have had their citywide revivals. They may have had the appearance of turning to God. But all of these did not result in permanent change in their heart and in their lifestyle for God. Did not result in ongoing victory over sin. It did not produce the fruit of the Spirit. It did not produce a daily conformity to the image of the living God. In fact, if you look closely at verse 3, it is really a messianic prophecy. You can write that in your Bible if it doesn't have it in the margin. It is a messianic prophecy about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 700 years before it happened, The prophet Hosea was privileged by God to look down to the future and see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ 700 odd years before it happened. You would ask, why is it tacked in here? Because the prophet Hosea is saying, knowing that even though he lived in the Old Testament, that it is only through the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ will we be able to have the power to repent. It is only through the power of the resurrected Christ can we have a repentance as a lifestyle. It is only through the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ can we live a life of a daily obedience for Him. And we are the ones who are living in those days that Hosea longed for. And yet we work and live and wake and go and come as if Jesus is still dead. How many of us are wondering that we really live with the power of the resurrected Christ? And the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians that that is the very power that is working in you right now. And here's the cry of God's heart. Your love is like the morning cloud. It's like the dew that goes early in the morning. You know, in the Middle East, when you wake up in the spring days, they don't get spring rain. But then you wake up in the spring day, there's a mist. And then there is a dew on the grass. And some mornings when the sun begins to shine, it is the most exquisite view that you can imagine. It is the most spectacular view when the early morning cloud, the early morning mist, and the glistening of the early morning dew. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's beyond description. But it is temporal. It is temporal. Morning cloud and early dew are too flighty to produce a harvest. Morning clouds and early dew are too shallow to withstand the heat of the sun. Morning clouds and early dew are too temporary to produce a permanent result. Here's what God is saying. I know how to deal with the atheists. I know how to deal with the agnostics. I know how to judge the out and out sin. I know how to judge rebellion. I know how to deal with that. But God is saying, my problem stems from those who claim to be believers, but their submission to Him is only part-time. God's problem stems from those who claim to be believers, but their surrender to Him is only on the outer perimeter of their life. God's problems stem from those who are into religion and into rituals, but have no intimate relationship with His Son on a daily basis. God's problems stem from those whose prayers are constant monologue and never wait for God to speak to them, bring them into conviction in order to deal with their sin. You know, I was reading today some statistics by George Banner that the so-called evangelical Christians do not live any differently from their pagan neighbors. That the average Christian spends more time watching television in one evening than reading the Word of God in a whole week. That the average Christian genuinely believes that God is happy if they are happy. I read somewhere again that 4 out of 10 evangelicals don't even believe in biblical absolutes. And I want to make 2 points. 2 reasons why God's people give God trouble. Why God's people give God trouble. The first reason is this. They rely on their feeling instead on the character of God. And the second reason is this. They have mixed motives instead of a singly unified mindset in serving God. They rely on feelings. I wonder how many of you would know that relying on your feelings in your dealing with God really irritates God. Why? Are you telling me that feelings are wrong? No, that's not what I'm saying. Feeling has its place. Feeling has its value. Feeling is absolutely necessary. But feeling is not enough. Feeling is the wind to the sail of a ship. Too little of it, you're not going anywhere. Too much of it creates a shipwreck. If there's too much wind, living too much in your feelings, you're in trouble. And if you have no feelings at all, you're in trouble. For those who rely on their feelings are constantly either crashing down all the time, and you know some people like that, or they never get off the ground. They do nothing. These people operate only on their feelings, are either more down than up, or never do anything. In fact, somebody said that those who live by their feelings, their companionship is like a pebble in the shoe. Have you ever had a nail in your shoe? And that's what God is saying. I mean, people who are living by their feelings are like a pebble in God's shoe. They're irritating Him. Secondly, God has trouble with those who have mixed motives. Mixed motives. It's only a few years ago that I really kind of had a jolt when I saw people going into ministry for mixed motives. I really did. For some reason, my naivete, I thought that everybody got into the ministry the way I did. Basically, I wanted nothing to do with it. That's not perfect English, but you understand what I mean. I mean, I did not want it. I ran away as far as I can. I mean, literally, I went to Tarshish. I mean, I have done everything possible in my life to get away from that call. I want nothing to do with the call to the ministry. And literally, God grabbed me by the scuff of my neck and brought me in here. He said, boy, you're going to preach. I was shocked to discover that mixed motive of people in ministry is very common. Many don't even know what the call is. And that's precisely why we're in the trouble we're in. And then I said, why am I shocked? The Word of God showed me example after example of people who have divided heart in serving God. Gehaziah, who was a servant of Elisha, after Elisha turned Naaman the Syrian's money, he ran after him and lied and got the gold. And leprosy struck him and his family for the rest of their life. Some of you remember Balaam? Man, I mean, he knew that it is not the will of God to go out and curse God's people. But then every time the king of the Canaanites kind of increases the amount of money, he would say, well, you know, I better pray about this some more. He sees the money, then he goes to pray. And God says, don't do it. He sees more money. He goes back to pray. You know, God had to get an ass to talk for Balaam to wake up. People who have mixed motives are like the boy who told his mother one day at church service. He turned to his mother and said, Mother, I'm going to be a preacher. She said, why do you want to do something like this? He said, well, I have to go to church anyway. And I hate sitting still and being quiet. Might as well stand up and holler. Oh, he might turn out to be a preacher. But you know, there are so many people in our culture that are surrounding us, they're everywhere, who want to identify with God's people some of the time. There are many people who want to identify with Christ only if it's not going to cost them a change in their lifestyle. There are many people who want to serve God only if it is comfortable. There are many people who want to belong to church as long as it's not challenging them to repent of their sins. There are many people who are so divided in their mind, a double deal all day long, they don't even know who they are. Mixed motives. Mixed motives. Mixed motive is like that lady who lost her purse in a big mall, and a short time later, an honest boy found it, and he returned it to her. And as she opened the purse, she looked through it, and she said, that's funny. I had a $10 bill. Now I have 10 $1 bills. And the boy quickly replied, he said, that's right, lady. The last time I found the lady's purse, she did not have change for a reward. Mixed motives. Isn't that what we do sometimes? Everything we have comes from God. Every blessing. And we give God little crumbs of what He gives us. And then pray and call out to God, give us a whole loaf, God. Give Him the crumbs. Look at verse 6, chapter 6. God said, I desire steadfast love, not a sacrifice, knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. Do you know why God is saying this? Listen to me very carefully, because there are people who use that as an excuse. Oh, I love God, so I don't have to give anything. No, that is not what it meant here. Listen carefully. God is saying, when I am constantly in a state of obedience to the Lord, He will get my sacrifice, but that way I'll give it with the right motive. God is saying that when I'm in constant state of intimacy and repentance and broken and contrite heart before God, I will give a burnt offering. But this offering will be given for the right reason. Not to appease God, not to get God off my back, not to just pacify God. No. Cheap repentance does not please God. Temporary repentance does not honor God. Occasional repentance troubles God. I grew up in the life of bankers. Since I was a little boy, my older brothers were all bankers. And many of them would come late home because they had to balance the books every day. And I often remember that. How many believers balance the book with God every single day? Listen, we pray for our country. We must and we will. We pray for a revival, and we should, and we will. But listen to a heart of a pastor who loves you. Until God's people themselves live in a state of repentance, until God's people come clean with God, come clean with God with their money, until God's people come repentant of self-sufficiency and thoroughly rely on God, until God's people give up gossip and backbiting and dishonest dealings, until God's people turn away from bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, until God's people truly submit and surrender their will to His will, our prayers are going nowhere. They are going nowhere. Scripture says, if I incline a sin in my heart, if I rationalize it, if I explain it away, if I hide it, my prayer will not be answered. May God deliver us from cheap repentance. There may be some people today that this message that's designed for believers is premature for them because they haven't gone to first base yet. They haven't turn to the Lord and seek Him as Savior and Lord of their life. They haven't repented of their sin. Now is the moment that you can turn your life over to repent now and live the life of constant repentance before God. Let repentance be your lifestyle. And then to all of us who have known God and we have grown to take Him for granted, we have grown to take His forgiveness for granted, we have grown to take His mercy and grace for granted. Let this be a word from God for us today to turn repentance into an attitude instead of just an act. To turn it into a lifestyle instead when we just need something from God.
Today's practical, biblical message sure was powerful, wasn't it? And if you'd like to be encouraged by more of Dr. Youssef's teachings, remember that you can watch or listen online for free at ltw.org. You can also subscribe to the Leading the Way podcast or download the app. That website again is ltw.org.
You're called to live out the truth of Christ, to grow in your faith and spread the good news of God's love. With Leading the Way's website, we're leveraging cutting-edge digital technologies to help you. That means more ways for you to access biblical teaching and share the gospel with the world. At ltw.org, dive into powerful biblical teachings while reading or listening to the scripture, all from the same screen, enhancing both study and application. Need prayer or guidance? Our pastoral team is just a click away, ensuring you're never walking this journey alone. Since the launch of the new site, we've seen a dramatic increase in visitors from all over the world seeking truth and peace. Visit ltw.org today, bringing the uncompromising truth of God's Word to a world in need and walking boldly through every open door God provides. Check it out and share our website with a friend today.
Thank you for spending part of your day with Dr. Michael Youssef. And please accept this invitation to listen again anytime to Dr. Youssef passionately proclaim uncompromising truth on Leading the Way Audio. This program is brought to you by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Connect further with audio and video content at ltw.org.